WFYI podcast brought to you by Bloomington, Indiana, an American college town offering food and drink, college sports, outdoor activities, live music, cool art, and good times daily. Everyone is welcome in Bloomington. More information at visitbloomington.com.
We're going to take a trip right now. Like we always do about this time.
This is a journey into sound. Break
it down. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. On this week's show, I'll be speaking with the legendary Indianapolis jazz singer, Wanda Stafford. Wanda began singing professionally in Indianapolis during the mid-1950s. She performed in venues across the city, from elegant dinner theaters like the Crown Room in the Meadows to the jazz clubs of Indiana Avenue. Wanda worked with some of the best jazz musicians in this city, including David Baker, Leroy Vinegar, and Wes Montgomery. In 1961, Wanda released her debut album on Roulette Records. The record was titled In Love for the very first time, and the album featured pianist Bill Evans, best known for his work on the Miles Davis classic Kind of Blue. For the next hour, Wanda will join me to share her memories of working in the Indianapolis jazz scene. But first, let's hear the title track from her 1961 debut. This is Wanda Stafford with In Love for the Very First Time.
Beat the drum, bang the gong, let the golden wedding bells chime. My heart's a flutter, I'm walking on air, I'm in love for the very first time. Hey, turn me loose, set me free, I've no use for reason or rhyme. I'm hazy crazy, but what do I care, I'm in love for the very first time. I thought that I was freer than a birdie in the sky, then you and wham, before I knew it, I was really going through it like a fish on a hook with that dreamy faraway look. I'm mad as a hatter, but what does it matter? Let me live, love, laugh and be merry. I'm in love for the very first time. The drum, bang the gong, let those golden wedding bells chime. My heart's a flutter, I'm walking on air. Ah, yes, I'm in love for the very first time. Turn me loose, set me free. I've no use for reason or rhyme. I'm hazy crazy, but what do I care? I'm in love for the very first time. I thought that I was freer than a birdie in the sky. Then you passed by, and when before I knew it, I was really going through it like a fish on a hook with that dreamy faraway look. I'm mad as a hatter, but what does it matter? Let me live.
That was the legendary Indianapolis jazz singer Wanda Stafford with In Love for the Very First Time. And Wanda Stafford is my guest this week. Wanda currently lives in California, and we spoke via phone from her home in San Francisco. Let's join our conversation as Wanda shares her memories of growing up in Indianapolis.
What can you share with us about your background? You grew up in downtown Indianapolis, essentially, right?
Right. Walked everywhere. Yes, walked downtown all the time. From Lockerbie Street, where I lived. I guess no car, so we walked everywhere.
And your mom, I read, worked at the Silk Hosiery Factory on Massachusetts Avenue. Is that correct?
Right, Real Silk.
Real Silk? Yeah.
Real Silk Hosiery Factory.
And she was an amateur musician or an aspiring musician. Is that correct? Tell me about the role of music in your family's life.
Well, she was a very good piano player. She grew up in Medora, Indiana, and she used to play the piano after she got out of high school. She would go play the piano for silent movies, do the fill-ins, you know, the scary parts and the sweet parts and all of that. But she was a really, she had to read music. She didn't play by ear, but she played very, very well. A really good style of music called stride piano, in a way. She had her own style, and she was very, very good. So it wasn't an easy life with her having to work in a factory, but when she would play the piano, that's when she would be happy. And my sister and I would stand behind her and sing all the Great American Songbook. That's how I know a million songs.
Hmm. And you mentioned you went to Arsenal Tech High School. And,
yes.
You know, the school produced a lot of great musicians. You know, I think probably somewhat around the time you were there, you know, Freddie Hubbard was there, Phil Ranelin, a lot of significant jazz musicians came out of the school. Were you involved in music at the school at all?
What's funny is I never was involved in any music like that, but I did play violin in the orchestra. Mm. But I didn't try out for any kind of dance band or any other kind of music. I didn't do any singing, which is kind of hard for me to realize looking back that I didn't. But I always wanted to be a singer, but I just never did it. And in high school, I think I was too busy trying to earn money to help my mom. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I had two jobs after school many times. And so I just did that. And then when I got out of high school and started working just office jobs and stuff, I started saying, you know, I really want to be a singer. So I started going around to clubs and auditioning. I got the job every time, thank God. So I started singing at places like LaRue's, which was, I think, Pennsylvania Street or Meridian or one of those, LaRue's Supper Club, and then down the street at Al Myers Bar. And so I sang and sang and sang. And then, you want me to keep going?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, feel free. Well, I had a question for you. What year would you say you got started, you know, singing out in nightclubs?
Okay, that would be like 1955, 56.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask you about a little article I saw in an old edition of the Indianapolis Star from 1955. It said you were working at the TP Drive-In Restaurant and you were singing to the customers and that this became kind of like an attraction at the restaurant, big enough that the Star wrote about it. Is that right?
Wow, I guess so.
Do you remember any of that?
I don't remember singing to the customers exactly, but maybe I did because I was singing all the time. So if they wrote it, it's probably true. I don't remember that. Isn't that weird?
That's funny.
But I did just start singing everywhere. And then that's when I would start going to all the jam sessions at George's Orchid Room on Indiana Avenue every Saturday or Sunday. And that's where I met, that and the Turf Club, which I think was on like West 16th, if I remember
correct.
Right. And where the Montgomery brothers were working every Saturday. And that's where I met them. And Al Plank, you probably know about him, too.
Great piano player, right?
Wonderful piano player. And so I would sit in every weekend. That was my highlight of my life, was sitting in with the Montgomery brothers and Al Plank on piano sometimes, Buddy Montgomery on piano sometimes. And with Wes, they were all so nice to me. And then they had a gig at a place called the, I can't remember, but Wes had a trio there. I can think of it in a little bit maybe, but it's been a lot of years ago. So then they had like a gig there, and they gave me the gig to sing with the Wes Montgomery Trio, which was like, wow, the highlight of my life in a way, the beginning of learning how to really swing. So bumping into all those guys at George's Orchid Room, like David Baker and Freddie Hubbard, Jim Spalding, all of them. I can't remember all of their names. And then there was an after-hours place called the Missile Room where Wes Montgomery had a trio. And we'd go there after the hours, after the clubs had closed. And, in fact, one time at the Circle Theater, there was George Shearing and I think Cannonball Adderley, I believe it was, were doing a show there. And I told him about, there's an after-hours place. If you want to go, I'll give you a ride. And I gave him a ride over to the Missile Club. And that's when they saw Wes Montgomery and said, what the heck?
Wow.
That's impossible what he's doing with his thumb. And so that's, I think, led to his record deal that he approached Orrin Keepnews, I believe, and they signed up Wes Montgomery. So I gave him the ride there. That makes me feel really good.
Are you kidding? That's one of the most legendary bits of mythology in Indianapolis music, incident with Cannonball Adderley at the Missile Room. That's unbelievable. Yeah, I've looked into that. They were playing at the Indiana Theater. Does any of that ring a bell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'll never forget that George Shearing always had a guitar player with him, and this guitar player was in the car, too, and I took him over there, and when we all got there, he leaned over, and he said, well, what he's doing is impossible, because he was a guitar player. And I said, oh, I didn't realize that what Wes did was impossible, because he'd always done that, and I thought, not knowing anything about how to play a guitar, that's probably the way you should do it. But he said, no, that's impossible. And yet he's doing it. So Wes was very, very nice to me, as was Buddy. I didn't know Monk that well. Then after I moved to San Francisco, Wes appeared at, I forget the name of the club on Broadway. And he came to my workplace where I was working at a department store in the daytime and singing nighttime at the Hungry Eye. He came and said, Wanda, where can I get some biscuits and gravy? And I said, probably not anywhere in San Francisco. It's totally different. You know? But he was so sweet and such a nice, honorable man, always treated me with such honor.
I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. My guest this week is the legendary Indianapolis jazz singer Wanda Stafford. Let's pause and listen to another track from her 1961 debut album, In Love for the Very First Time. This is Come By Sunday.
I'm not free on Monday night. Tuesday might not be quite right. So come by Sunday. Yeah, Sunday night I'm free. Come by Sunday and spend some time with me. Wednesday night I'm booked in full. Thursday night's the taffy pull. So come by Sunday. Come in time for tea. Come by Sunday and spend some time with me. It isn't necessary to call me on the phone. If you decide to drop on by, well, I'll be waiting all alone. The whole week long I'm on the town. Sunday always gets me down, so come by Sunday. I'll make it after three. Come by Sunday and spend some time with me. It is necessary to call me on the telephone. If you decide to drop on by, well, I'll be waiting all alone. Whole week long I'm on the town, but Sunday always gets me down. So come by Sunday, make it after three. Come by Sunday and spend some time with me. Come in time for tea. Make it after three. Spend some time with me.
That was Wanda Stafford with Come By Sunday. And Wanda Stafford is my guest this week. Let's return to our conversation.
And Wanda, you sang in nearly every club in Indianapolis over the years. It's kind of
right.
Unbelievable how many, from, I think you sang in country western bars to rock and roll joints. It's really unbelievable. But there was a couple specifically I wanted to ask you about, and you mentioned one, George's Bar, which was on Indiana Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like going on Indiana Avenue at the time? You know, this was the era of segregation. Were white people welcome there? That's something I'm always curious about. Tell me about your remembrances of being on Indiana Avenue, being at George's Bar.
That's a great question. You know, I've thought back at that, and I never felt anything. Hmm. I never felt any discrimination or anything. I mean, I just didn't have it in me to feel it, and nobody treated me that way either. So I was just one of the people. I don't know. Just went there every Saturday and Sunday just to sing, and I became very good friends with David Baker, and you know we did a CD together.
Right, right.
Right?
I have that. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Let's Face the Music.
Yeah, it was really an honor that he wrote all of those charts for me and everything, and then I started playing drums. Willis Kirk taught me kind of how to play drums because I could get more jobs if I played cocktail drums.
Hmm.
So I bought cocktail drums, and I worked at a place. Now I'm going to have a hard time coming up with it. It was a big club that opened on East 38th with famous people. And
Lamplighter?
Crown Room. Was
Crown Room.
Crown
Meadows,
Room?
Yeah. The Crown Room at the Meadows.
Yeah. And I opened for a hypnotist. And so I had a trio there, and I played drums. And I went on to go to Bloomington, Indiana for a little while to work at that hotel there, which I can't remember the name of that either, the main hotel in the town square, with a trio with Marvin Chandler and some other people, and playing drums the whole time and singing at the same time, which is one of my favorite things to do. I still do it. I still play drums and sing at the same time. On some gigs, other gigs, I just sing. But, it seems like I worked at Brody's Supper Club.
Mm-hmm.
I worked every bar there was.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Real quick, I wanted to ask you about this term. I've heard it before, cocktail drums. There was a drummer here named Bertha Eubanks, and I've heard people refer to her as a cocktail drummer. What does that mean exactly?
Okay, it's a tall cylinder with a bass pedal on the bottom of the cylinder and a snare on the top of it. So you stand up and you play the snare on top, and you, with your foot, you hit the bass drum.
Mm.
Now, if you've got 3 feet, you could play a hi-hat too, but I just played the drums. But having heard all the way, there's a, like, different ways to swing, in my opinion, and having learned from being in Indianapolis, just being in that environment where everything just had a pocket, I just learned how to play drums that way, and I still play that way, and everybody's always surprised, you know, that I can do that. But it just came so easy to me because of my background, of where I spent all my time listening to people like Wes and all of them, you know, like Earl Grandy and Hooky Johnson, and I'm going to leave people out, I know, but wonderful, wonderful time in my life. And so...
You worked with Errol Grandy, the pianist?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't work with him on gigs that paid money, but I went and sat in with him all the time. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when I'd go in and stand next to him, I'd say, he'd say, Wanda? I go, how do you know it's
wow.
me?
Yeah, he was blind, right? They called him Groundhog. That was his nickname, but he was legally blind, right?
Right. I said, how do you know that's me? He says, I know it's you. Everybody was so welcoming to me. I cannot say I ever felt any discrimination or anything negative from any of the musicians.
I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. My guest this week is the legendary Indianapolis jazz singer Wanda Stafford. Let's take a break from our conversation and listen to a pair of classic tracks from Wanda's 1961 debut album, In Love for the Very First Time. This is Wanda Stafford with Love and Riding on the Moon.
Love can be a moment's madness. Love can be insane. Love can be a life of sadness and pain. Love can be a summer shower. Love can be the sun. Love can be two hearts that flower as one. It can be fine and free, but it is true. It doesn't always happen to you. Love can be a dying ember. Love can be a flame. Love that's quenched in September, maybe dead in December. You may not even remember it came. Oh, love can be a joy forever or an empty name. Love is almost never ever the same. Joy forever or an empty name. Love is almost never ever the same. Love. I walk under ladders. Number 13 doesn't scare me, 'cause I'm dressed up in a rainbow and I'm riding on the moon. Old Jinx had me cornered, but I found out when to shake it, and my true love helped me break it. Now I'm riding on the moon. Ah, yes, you can preach it, sister, while I shout for joy. Ah, yes, say hello to Lady Love, baby girl. You're my 'cause I'm right back where I started, and I'm riding on the moon.
I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. My guest this week is the legendary Indianapolis jazz singer Wanda Stafford. She began singing professionally in the city during the mid-1950s and performed with legendary musicians like Wes Montgomery and David Baker. We'll return to my conversation with Wanda in just a moment. But first, let's hear another track from her 1961 debut album, In Love for the Very First Time. That record featured the famous jazz musician Bill Evans on piano, as you'll hear on this next track. This is Wanda Stafford with The Most Beautiful Words.
The most beautiful words in the world are the words when you whisper, I love you. The most wonderful sound in the world is your voice when you tell me I need you. The greatest sight is the love in your eyes. The greatest music, the song in your sighs. The most heavenly thrill is just to kiss you. And the loneliest time is when I miss you. On the day
that was Wanda Stafford with The Most Beautiful Words, featuring Bill Evans on piano. That track was taken from Wanda's debut record, In Love for the Very First Time. Let's return to my conversation with Wanda as we discuss the recording of that album. And Wanda, I did want to ask about the debut album you made in 1961. You were still living here in Indianapolis at the time. You made an album called In Love for the Very First Time for Roulette Records, which famously features Bill Evans on piano. How did that record come together, and kind of what were your thoughts on getting this, you know, big opportunity to make a record for a big company out in New York?
Shock. I had come to New York to just visit Al Plank, and so he wanted to take me around to hear all the people and all the jazz. We went to see Peggy Lee and a lot of other people. So he took me to the round table one night where Teddy Wilson was playing and with his trio. And Teddy Wilson on a break said, do you want to sing? And I went, I didn't realize what a big deal that was at the time, because I don't think people could just sit in at the round table with Teddy Wilson. But it was an honor that I look back on it that I said, sure. And so I unleashed all of my badass swinging self in that kind of uppity room. And for some reason, everybody just went crazy and with applause and craziness. And I thought, oh, you know, okay, that's, I mean, I sang so different than anybody else at that time because of my background. And so then a man came over and handed me his card and said, I'm the A&R man for Roulette Records. Here's my card. Give me a call tomorrow. And I thought, okay, whatever. And then the guy said, no, he's for real. So I called him the next day, and he said, I'd like you to come in and do an audition tape. So Al Plank and I went to the studio and sang for about an hour of just song after song in a room by ourselves with just an engineer. And then I was going to be leaving in a few days, so I called him and said, is there any way I could get a copy of that tape? Because that was really fun. And he said, sure. And he said, by the way, we're going to sign you. I was on a payphone. I almost fainted right there. And I said, what? He said, we're going to sign you to do an album. Oh, my God. So I went back home. I never told anybody. I never told a soul because I thought this can't be true. And I don't want to feel stupid. And then the paperwork came. And the advance check came, and I got a lawyer to look it over. And so back I go to New York to record. And they took me to Noel Coward's house to see if he had any new songs that that they might want me to do. They actually picked all the songs, which was kind of surprising. But they were trying to, I look back on it now, they were trying to portray me as a young pop singer, kind of. Mm. And so they picked songs that I would never have picked, some of them, and they did all the arrangements. Bill Russo, who was Stan Kenton's arranger, did all the arrangements, but they never told me. Like, so Al Plank and I, back at his apartment, learned all the songs, but we didn't know what, if it was going to be a fast song, a slow song, a waltz, what it was going to be. So I knew the words, I knew the melody, but I didn't know what else was going to happen. And so we get to the recording studio. To my shock, there was a whole lot of musicians there. And it was, oh, you heard the record, the very elaborate arrangements, which I had to immediately fit into with no rehearsal, no nothing. And thank God for all of my background of being able to sing under so many different conditions. And I studied with David Dick, a voice teacher back in Indianapolis, who had taught me how to breathe, sing, and sing properly. And, boy, I put all of that to work because Bill Russo and I kind of butted heads a few times. He said, you've got to quit laying behind the beat a little bit. We don't want you to be a jazz singer. We want you to be a singer, a pop singer. I said, I can't take the feeling. I can't do it. I have to sing the way I feel it. And I said, so in other words, you want Wanda Stafford accompanies Bill Russo's orchestra and accommodates your arrangements. And we kind of had a fight about that. But, you know, if you ever heard it, you can see I did try to sound as jazzy as I could with his busy arrangements. One song he dubbed a trumpet in after I left town on I Only Have Eyes for You, which was just a nice slow swing with Bill Evans. You could really hear him. And then Bill Russo took some kind of trumpet and just played it awful and ruined the whole song. I think to spite me. I don't know.
So you have mixed feelings about that record, it sounds like.
Oh, I love the record. I just saying that it was an unusual, in my opinion, that a singer would be hired to sing an album never having heard the arrangements, the key they're going to do it in, or meeting anybody until you show up at the recording studio, which must have cost a fortune. And I just feel proud of myself that I could pull it off, and only because of all of my past experience. I can't imagine that very many singers would do that, go in there and just do it without any kind of rehearsal or knowledge of what we're doing and still be able to pull it off. No, I pulled it off, in my opinion. Yeah, and actually, one of those I can never remember the name of things, when they write about things, reviews said that Stafford really, that Bill Russo was okay, but Stafford stole the deal or something like that, and then he didn't like me for that either. But that's okay.
Well, it's incredible hearing that background and thinking
about... Oh, they were wonderful. The musicians were wonderful. I mean, and it was done over a two-night thing. So after I went the first night and heard that all those horns, I mean, it's like really exhilarating. You're in a high for hours and hours and hours after you leave the recording studio. You can't get that music and all that stuff out of your head. So I had a hard time sleeping, and then I went back the next night to do the other half. And it was just such an experience and a pleasure, but I feel proud that I did do a good job on that record.
Did you get to interact with Bill Evans at all?
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah.
And he kept leaving the room a lot. And then we'd have to wait for him to come back, leaving the room a lot. But I did get to, in fact, a funny story is that when they said they were going to sign me and they took me to Noel Coward's house that day and we looked around for new songs and stuff, and I said, well, can Al Plank play the piano for me because he knows me so well? And they said, no, we already have a piano player, and his name is Bill Evans. And I did not know that name at all. And then I came back to the apartment and told Al Plank, I tried to get you the job, but they said they had a guy named Bill Evans. And he went, what? So he was very impressed. So then I said, oh, okay. But Bill Evans was kind of a solitary figure. You know, he played beautifully behind me when you could hear him, when they let him be heard. But, I mean, he really listened. If you listen to it, some of the things that I did, he sort of responded and answered on the piano. So it was, the musicians were all very nice.
Let's pause and listen to another track from Wanda Stafford's 1961 debut. This is I Only Have Eyes for You, featuring Bill Evans on piano.
Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright, 'cause I only have eyes for you, dear. That moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky, 'cause I only have eyes for you. I don't know if we're in a garden, or on a crowded avenue. Yes, you are here, and so am I. Maybe millions of people pass by, but they all disappear from view. And I only have eyes for you. I don't know if we're in a garden, a crowded avenue. You are here, and so am I. Maybe millions of people pass by, but they all disappear from view.
That was Wanda Stafford with I Only Have Eyes for You, featuring Bill Evans on piano. And Wanda Stafford is my guest this week. Let's return to our conversation as Wanda shares the struggles she faced as a working mother in the music industry.
I'm curious if that record changed anything for you artistically, commercially. You know, the record got national attention. It was obviously, you know, Roulette was a huge company. Did that offer any exciting opportunities for you recording this album?
Yes. Can you think of booking agencies, agents?
Oh, yeah. That's an area I don't know much about, but I'm trying to think of, like, the big one back then.
The big one that I can't come up with the name, of course. It's been so long ago. Signed me, and then Dorothy Kilgallen's husband just decided he wanted to be my manager, and then I was William Morris' agent.
William Morris, yeah.
They signed me, and they sent me on the road. So here I am on the road going to Winnipeg, Canada, going to the Miami, going to Chicago, singing in quite a few clubs there where I met Ramsey Lewis and became very good friends with him. And in Winnipeg, Canada, my agent called me once and said, hey, there's a singer that we've put at another club up there that I'd really like you to go over and just check it out and see what you think of her. I said, okay. So I told the guys in the band, can you take me to this club? There's a singer that my agent wants me to check out. And so we went, and I thought, wow, that is the most unusual person I've ever seen in a kind of way. And what a terrific singer. And that was Barbara Streisand. And said, yeah, I think that person is really great. And so, you know, that's how much... how much I was going to be able to do probably if I could have stayed with that agency and everything. But I had a five-year-old daughter, so it was time for her to go to school. And my sister was watching her, and she said, you have to come get her. I said, my God, you know what I'm into. I've got an agent. I've got a manager. I'm on the road. But I had to quit, so I had to go in and tell him I'm sorry, but I have to quit. And they said, are you crazy? You will never get this back. I said, what am I supposed to do? I can't do it. So I picked up my daughter and came back to Indianapolis and got married to a guy that I'd been dating just simply in a way because I didn't have anything else to do. Nowhere to go, no place to live. So it gets kind of depressing there. After all of that in New York, to come back, and then we moved to Bloomington, where I put him through college and medical school. And I didn't sing at all, even though Al Kobine Band wanted me to. My husband said, no, he doesn't want a singer for a wife. And so it was a pretty bad time for about 5 years. And then I got divorce, and it was shortly after that divorce that I came out here on vacation, and I was working at the Lamplighter, and then I just said, I'm out of Indianapolis, too many bad memories with the divorce and all. So with a kid and nowhere to live and no money and no job, I just came out here and did it.
Let's take a break from my conversation with Wanda Stafford and listen to her 1967 single, Happy Sunday. That record was recorded and released in Indianapolis and featured an all-star crew of local players, including Lanny Hartley on piano, John Strickland on bass, and Jerry Jordan on drums.
I'm not afraid to die.
I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. My guest this week is the legendary Indianapolis jazz singer, Wanda Stafford. We just heard Wanda's 1967 single, Happy Sunday, featuring Lanny Hartley on piano, John Strickland on bass, and Jerry Jordan on drums. Wanda was working regularly with that group at the Lamplighter, an East Side nightclub located at 38th Street and Emerson Avenue. Let's return to my conversation with Wanda Stafford.
Wanda, I did want to ask you about your time at the Lamplighter. You mentioned this trio you were playing with Lanny Hartley, mm-hmm. John Strickland, and Jerry Jordan. You made a record with them in 1967,
yeah,
a 45.
Yeah, guitar and yeah. Some...
Happy Sunday.
Whatever, I can't think of it.
Yeah, Happy Sunday.
Yeah. Is that it?
Happy
Sunday.
Yeah.
It's all over the internet. A guy from Germany called me once and said he wanted to re-release that. I said, where in the world did you find that? And he said that somebody had brought it to Europe, and he heard it, and he wanted to put it on his record company called Tramp Records.
Mm-hmm.
Paid me money. I said, you have to ask John Strickland. It's his songs. He said, okay. Everybody said, okay. So I guess we're all over the internet with that one. It's gotten tons of hits and likes. And
huge
people
in Europe.
Called me and asked me for the words and to learn the blue guitar and uh-huh. stuff. So that was really fun.
Yeah, it sells for like $200, $250. Like, I don't know if you realize it's a super collectible record, too. Yeah.
It is, really?
Yeah.
That 45?
Yeah, usually sells for around $200.
Oh, my God. I know the album, Roulette album, started, you know, that's impossible to
right.
find. Then Japan reissued it and put it in a CD format.
Does it surprise you how enduring this music has been?
It really does. I mean, it's just, a fluke thing that happened to me. And it's still, you know, having people like you call me. And,
mm-hmm.
and it's just really a treasure, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's pause and listen to the flip side of Wanda's 1967 single, Happy Sunday. This is Wanda Stafford with Blue Guitar.
Hey, little boy, sitting on the fence, put down your books, they're all a past tense. Come follow me to a place not so far where you'll hear a blue guitar. I look by the road, a daffodil grows, and up in that tree's a lavender rose. Smell the orange blossoms, the lemon and lime, and I'll show you heaven if you'll take the time. It's not so far if you know the way. There's a cow chewing bones and a dog eating hay. And I'll play the cello and laughs at the moon. Follow me and we'll be there soon. Stop over here by the strong apple tree. There's a warm patch of grass for you and for me. I kick off your shoes and look at the stars. And now do you hear that blue guitar? Bones and a dog eating hay, and I'll play the cello and laughs at the moon. Follow me and we'll be there soon. Stop over here by the strong apple tree. There's a warm patch of grass for you and for me. Take off your shoes and look at the stars. And now, do you hear that blue guitar?
That was the legendary Indianapolis jazz singer Wanda Stafford with Blue Guitar. And Wanda Stafford is my guest this week. Let's return to our conversation.
Finally, I just wanted to know what you're doing today. You're still performing. You're still pretty active in the music scene out in California, right?
Right. I just stopped. This last Tuesday was the last day of this music Tuesday night jazz series that I set up at a restaurant that had a huge patio. And I went in and talked to him and said, you've got a gold mine sitting here with nobody on it. Let me book music in here once a week on your slowest night, and let's see what happens. If you don't like it, we'll stop it. And then I picked singers that I know work as hard as I do to bring audiences. And we packed that patio every Tuesday night for the entire summer with, a lot of people, 60, 70 people every Tuesday night. And that just ended because it's getting cold and rainy here now, or at least we hope it's going to rain, but cold. And so I'm still playing, and I played drums, and I worked with a guy that's from Indianapolis too, or actually Bloomington, Doug Miller, on bass. Have you heard of him?
No, I'm going to look him up, though. Yeah.
Yeah. He grew up in Bloomington, and he's worked with everybody, and he lived in Seattle for a long time, and now he's back here in Marin. So the piano player you wouldn't know, or the guitar player you wouldn't know, but he's an Indiana person too. So, and I played drums and sang with them last Tuesday night. It was really fun. So, yeah, I'm still trying, and there's just not that much, there's not that many jazz clubs here anymore. There used to be. I worked at Jazz at Pearls. Do you have that CD?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Live at Pearls. And that was the best. Sonny Buxton. He really believed in me. I worked with Bruce Foreman there and Al Plank. So that was John Watala, Vince Lariano. That was really fun. But there aren't that many jazz clubs left anymore. So having this music series that I set up, that really worked for me because they let us do whatever we wanted. And people came.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. If I'm ever out in that part of the world, I'm going to look you up and see if you're
absolutely
playing. Yeah. Yeah. And I can't thank you enough, Wanda, for taking time to speak with me today. It's been incredible to hear a little bit about your time in Indianapolis. Any final thoughts you want to share or anything I didn't ask you about that you wanted to mention?
Just that background and that upbringing has been the anchor for me all these years of remembering when it just seemed there was not so much competition, there was not so much backstabbing or anything. I just felt part of a community that was only love. I just didn't feel anything but love, from all the musicians, and respect, which is more important even than love. And I treasure my memories of all of that. I have nothing negative to say about any of it.
My guest this week has been the Indianapolis jazz singer, Wanda Stafford. And we have time for one more track. Let's listen to a cut from Wanda's 2011 album, Something Cool. This is Wanda Stafford with Street of Dreams.
Love laughs at a king. King stomped me laughing on the street of dreams. Dreams broken in two can be made like new on the street of dreams. Gold, silver, and gold, all you can hold is in the moonbeams. For no one is poor long as love endures on the street of dreams.
That's all the time we have for this week. Thank you to my guest, Wanda Stafford. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Kyle Long, and you've been listening to Cultural Manifesto.